This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Perrault.
So tonight...
Oh boy, that was bad.
So tonight, I can't push it. If I push my voice, it goes bad.
Pushing the voice with Matt Perrault.
Yeah, I can't push the voice. I push the odds, but I can't push the voice. It cracks like a 14-year-old kid. Tonight, Red Sox-Yankees, CC versus Eduardo Rodriguez. Red Sox one game lead on the Yankees. Red Sox have the best record in baseball, but we'll see what happens after this weekend. Matt Collins runs over the monster SB Nation's great site covering the Red Sox. He joins us on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Matt Perrault, sorry for the voice. Thanks for the time.
That's all right. Thanks for having me.
Banged up for sure today on this Friday. All right, so tell me a bit about your thoughts on the Red Sox heading into this series, and what, how big of a measuring stick do you see this, or do you not see this as a measuring stick at all for the Red Sox here? These two teams had some bad blood early, Red Sox in the Bronx. This is a team with the Red Sox right now after whipping up on the Angels. It's too bad they can't play the Angels every night, given what their offense has looked like against L.A., but what do you make of this series coming up starting tonight?
I don't know if it's a huge measuring stick. I mean, this is an elite team, and they're still going to be an elite team even if they get swept in New York, but... I mean, at the same time, this is obviously a huge series. The division race is going to go right down to the wire. And, I mean, it could very well be that whoever wins the season series is going to end up having the division championship. So they need to win these games. They need to win as many of the games as they can against the Yankees. And these series are always fun, and this year it's just a little bit extra.
The nightmare scenario is already being written about and already being yelled about by the Boston media, where the Red Sox could have, look, they could have 105 wins and wind up in the one-game wild card spot. How do you feel about the one-game wild card, and could this really be a nightmare for Major League Baseball with the Red Sox and the Yankees both potentially having monster years, but one of them being in that game?
It's funny, I've always... that I love the one-game playoff. I think it's really exciting. It's a nice wrinkle. Now that the Red Sox are looking at it straight in the face, I don't really like it as much. But I still think the one-game playoff, it would be nice if they just had the fourth and fifth best teams by record, regardless of division, in there. But, I mean, at the same time, if you want to avoid the playoff game, then you got to win the division, and the Red Sox are capable of it. And if they don't, then I mean, they have to blame themselves for that, at least partially.
Yeah, and look, the Yankees were there last year, and the Yankees made the ALCS. So it's not like if you're in the game, just win the game. I mean, it's not great, but you would have home field advantage. And you know, look, the Seattle Mariners went to New York and got swept. Went to Fenway and lost 2 of 3. So the team that they'd be facing would be far superior to that team who they'd be facing in a one game playoff. But then again, it is a one game playoff, and who knows what can happen? Bad things can happen when you put yourself in that scenario. Let's talk about the roster for the Red Sox here a little bit, and how you feel about their middle relief, and how you feel about their bench. The Sox made a deal with the Blue Jays yesterday to bring in a right-handed bat to help against left-handed pitching. But do you see them being major players at the trade deadline for an elite help or an elite arm when it comes to the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on your definition of elite. The Red Sox have one of the worst farm systems in baseball, so they're not going to really be in play for anyone like Brad Hand or Aizel Iglesias, guys with multiple years of control, but... They should be right in the mix for like Zach Britton, Jairus Familia, Adam Ottavino if he's available. Mm-hmm. The top of the rental clause, so they definitely need somebody to help bridge the gap to Kimbrel, and as long as it's a rental, they should be able to afford it.
Why has Kelly and Barnes and the rest of these guys, why have they not worked in your mind for the Red Sox in terms of the setup, man?
I don't know if it's that they haven't worked. I mean, Kelly's been pretty bad over the last month, but the first 2 months he was kind of getting a little bit of all-star buzz quietly. And Barnes, I think, might be the most underrated player on the team. I think he's really good, and I'm fine with him as the second best right now. It's just, I mean, every contender can always use another reliever. You just have so many bullpen spots that's always a spot you can upgrade. And obviously those guys don't really have the elite track record either, so you can add somebody in front of them, that's great, but I don't think they're like a disaster or anything either.
you know, weird night last night at Fenway because you've got two hitters who have been struggling a bit, and Rafael Devers and Jackie Bradley Jr. has been just a disaster at the plate this year. They get hot. They hit home runs. JBJ had a really nice series against the Angels. The Red Sox are kind of carrying him for his glove. He made a psychotic catch last night. So did Benintendi in left field. You know, got a Superman catch up against the wall and showing again why he's in the lineup. But it seems like that's a constant battle with Jackie Bradley Jr. staying in the lineup. Where are you with him, and do you think they should be looking to trade him to try to find an extra bat or two in the outfield, or are you comfortable with where he is offensively?
At least for the rest of this year, I'm comfortable. We've seen Bradley go through major peaks and valleys before. It does look like he's starting to heat up. I'm not sure we're ever going to see, like, he had a couple hot streaks a couple years ago where he, like, literally looked like Mike Trout for a couple months. I'm not sure we're going to see that, but... I mean, I'm pretty confident he could be at least average the rest of the way. Maybe in the off season they could start looking in a different direction and look to trade him, but I don't think if they're going to add another starter via trade, I would think it would be second base, not the outfield.
Do you believe that, speaking of second base, do you think that the Red Sox will be able to see Dustin Pedroia back at all this year to contribute to this team?
I mean, it's hard to say from the outside, but we really haven't gotten any good news on him. Basically all year. I mean, he did come back for three games, and they went right back to the DL. So I think if you get to the All-Star game and you're still not seeing him really improve, you're kind of running out of time, and you can't keep running Eduardo Nunez out there as an everyday player. So at that point, I think you have to assume that you're just going to get nothing from Pedroia the rest of the year. Mm.
2 years ago, I lost my mind, Matt, when Mike Trout won the MVP over Mookie Betts being on a crap team. He didn't play a meaningful baseball game from July 1st on. I don't care what his numbers were. I don't care what his WAR was. He was batting in meaningless baseball games for a good 2.5 months where Mookie Betts was battling all the way down to the Red Sox getting in, winning the AL East and making the playoffs. Where do you come down on the MVP award going to a player on a losing team? It's been A-Rod and Mike Trout, the only two guys to have won it, because it looks like we're going to be having the same debate coming up here in September between Mike Trout and Mookie Betts.
You know, I really don't mind it going to a guy on a losing team. If that guy is, like, clearly better, that's fine with me. If it's close, then I think you have to give it to the guy on the winning team. And this year, it definitely seems like it's going to be close. Mookie has been unbelievable. But just in general, I don't think it has to come on a winning team, especially in a game like baseball where one player doesn't have the kind of impact as he does in, say, like the NBA. But at the same time, I mean, Mookie's definitely played well enough where he deserves to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I think he's the MVP this year. I thought he was the MVP in 2016, and I think we're going to look at another wasted year from Mike Trout, but he'll put up huge numbers again. He's up on Mookie in almost every major category except for batting average. But when you look at the Red Sox right now and their starting pitching, 1-2 is set, we know, with Sale and Price. But do you think, in terms of a postseason rotation, that they have somebody they'll hand the ball to at number 3 and be comfortable doing so?
Yeah, I'm a big Eduardo Rodriguez fan. He's kind of maddening sometimes. He will get up on a hitter and then he'll kind of nibble around the strike zone. And it hurts him from going deep into games. But, I mean, he has the talent to shut down lineups at least for 5 innings every time he gets the ball. And in the playoffs, you see shorter leashes anyways. So mm-hmm. I think with him and Porcello at number 4, they have a nice playoff rotation locked in as long mm-hmm. as they can make it to a series more than one game.
All right, Matt, get your head on this. Red Sox and the Yankees have had some issues. Joe Kelly with some issues. Do we see any issues, any bench-clearing issues this weekend in the Bronx?
I'm going to guess no. I think these games are too important, but obviously it wouldn't surprise me if we saw some fireworks.
Great stuff. Matt, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
That's Matt Collins over the Monster SB Nation site on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently here. I don't think you'll see it. I think he's right. I think there's definitely some issues where the Red Sox and the Yankees would love to sort out, but not now. These games are too important. It's completely nip and tuck. Tonight's game will not be shown nationally, but tomorrow's game, tomorrow night, will be on Fox. Sunday night, July the 1st, it'll be on ESPN on Sunday Night Baseball, and expect a 4.5-hour game there. Although Severino's pretty quick, Bryce can be kind of little laborious, but you know, longer commercial breaks and A-Rod rambling, and the, you know, typical Red Sox Yankees games going for hours. Red Sox have a tough stretch here, though. They go to the Bronx, then they go to Washington, and then to Kansas City. For a road trip that will take them back to Fenway for Texas and Toronto. I'm actually going to the game on the 13th against Toronto for the Red Sox and the Blue Jays at Fenway Park, my annual Fenway Park trip. We'll get more to the Red Sox and the Yankees in this series coming up tonight on the other side. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.